Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. First hour flew by. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. I was saying to J-Mac during the commercial, generally with March Madness, I prefer the first weekend. But I think the talent pool has been so diluted over the last 10 years, I find myself looking forward to the second weekend because there's actually NBA players in that. And I think when you watch the games, it's pretty clear that UConn, Purdue, North Carolina, I think San Diego State, Arizona, you know, there's a handful of teams I watch and I go, okay, there's some NBA bodies there, it works for me. So the Gonzaga game against, it's Purdue, right? Gonzaga-Purdue, it's in Detroit. So that means Purdue's going to have a huge contingent there.
Yeah.
It's fascinating because Edie, Gonzaga's got, by Gonzaga standards, it's a different team. Watson's good, but it's just a bunch of different guys, misfits. It just kind of works. It's well coached, but it's not your typical kind of Gonzaga looking stylistic team. Purdue's got one dominant player. They're very structured. They come down, they call a set play. They're very good at those set plays. But I think Gonzaga wants to get them out of their comfort zone, push the ball, trap, move them a little bit. That could be an exceptional college basketball game.
They played in Maui earlier this year. Purdue got the win. I think they have a big edge here. I'm just saying, I know people may be, oh, college basketball, who cares? The Sweet 16 games are very, very good.
Very good.
Extremely
good. I am sitting around next weekend.
Yeah, all right.
All I'm doing is watching college hoops all weekend.
Thursday, Friday, right? Saturday, you're on a flight somewhere?
No. I am. I am totally locked in. My perceptive vision.
You could even probably toss back two or three drinks, make it a boozy.
No. Clear-eyed. Okay. No boozy. Okay, we predict them, and sometimes we're wrong. It's called Colin Right, Colin Wrong. We do it every Monday at this time, and here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Well, Mike Tomlin clarified it finally. This whole idea that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are going to compete for the starting job is nonsense. Give me a break. One's figuring out how to play quarterback. One is a refined Super Bowl appearing two-time quarterback. Here's Tomlin on his two guys at quarterback.
His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected. Russell has those resources, man, that structure. And so that's why I say he has pole position, man. It just creates a synergy that I think is good for this time of year.
Pole position will be and should be Russell Wilson. He may not be what he was 7 years ago, but he can still win you a lot of games in this league. And in the AFC, you can't go with a quarterback trying to figure out how to play the position. That doesn't work in that division.
Where Colin was wrong.
I went to the Bulls-Celtics game with a notepad. I can acknowledge after closer inspection, Jason Tatum is very good. Okay, I knew that. But I will say one of the things I've questioned about Jason Tatum is dominating a game late. He always gets his shot, but they didn't have Porzingis. Jaylen Brown didn't play. Drew Holiday didn't play. And Chicago was at home. This was a big game for the Bulls. And Tatum finished it off, playmaking, finding the open guy, where Colin was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
I said, don't overthink it. The talent pool in college basketball is thin. Duke and UConn are the two best teams. Well, they're 4-0 after this weekend. UConn's winning by 28 a game. Carolina's winning by 22 a game. Listen, there's just not many really exceptional teams. Even next weekend, when it's been cut down to a smaller number, there's only about four teams left, maybe five, that can win the national championship. Don't outthink the room.
Where Colin was wrong.
Finally, the New York Jets move off of just getting players that made Aaron comfortable. They went out and got offensive linemen Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, John Sampson from Dallas, Baltimore, teams that have had successful winning cultures and excellent offensive lines. They also went and got a backup quarterback, and they didn't ask for Aaron Rodgers' approval. It's not anti-Aaron, it's pro-winning. The Patriots during their dynasty weren't getting an okay on every acquisition or draft pick from Tom. I understand if you go and you have a wide receiver in the market and you're like, hey, how do you think you guys match up? But the bottom line is the Jets moved away from making Aaron comfortable and moved in to some older quality players who can protect Aaron even if they're not buddies.
Where Colin was right?
John Calipari. We'll find out if he keeps his job today. My guess he will. The Wildcats again bounced by a small college in the first round. Last year, St. Peter's. This year, Oakland, somewhere in Michigan. I've said with Calipari, I bought into him initially in the one and done stuff. I thought it was a new way to do business, but it's all salesmanship now. He never owns it. He constantly projects. It's all about, hey, I feel bad for the kids. Don't worry about the kids. They'll go to the NBA and get rich. Worry about you and elevating your team. And as the culture changes in college basketball, you've got to adapt. Calipari said last week, I don't know if I'm going to change. Well, you're not winning in March, and the culture's changed. Even Belichick got fired when he wouldn't adapt to a new culture, and he wasn't winning in January.
Where Colin was wrong.
My Golden State Warriors have lost 7 times in 11 games. They've just become too Steph Curry dependent. Klay Thompson off the bench is often the second best scorer on the team. Wiggins is all over the map. I like Kuminga, but he's not at a 24-point-a-game pace in his career now. They have a problem scoring if Steph's not on fire. And again, they are in danger of getting edged out. I don't think it's good for the league with the Houston Rockets, who are talented but hyper young. And I thought this team had a perfect mix of Chris Paul. Chris is going to be 38. He really doesn't add a lot offensively. This team has hit a wall.
Where Colin was right.
Caleb Williams is clearly going to be the Bears pick, the number one pick. Keenan Allen last week went to his pro day and wore a Chicago Bears jersey. And Caleb came on our show, as we told you, his camp had told me he's happy about going to Chicago.
Well, that's the place. I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. If that was the place, I'd be excited. Get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for, most importantly.
He'll go to Chicago. He is a much better prospect than Justin Fields. They have a much better offensive situation than Fields inherited. This is the future of the Chicago Bears. Ryan Poles, and I've had my questions about him, has had a very good year between DJ Moore, Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, and rebuilding that O-line. GM Ryan Poles has had a very good 12 months. It'll continue when he drafts Caleb Williams.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers would elevate the sport, elevate the Dodgers. He was squeaky clean. He had a great image. And now he's in the middle of a scary gambling situation. Now, if he didn't bet on baseball, I think it evaporates very quickly. There's a shadiness to it with his interpreter, whether it's Otani. And again, I think we have a gambling culture in America increasingly. So if he didn't bet baseball, I don't think he's in a lot of trouble. I think it goes away. But I will acknowledge that I thought he was the perfect Dodger, squeaky clean, elevate the sport in a big entertainment capital. And this is clearly a mess for the sport.
Where Colin was right.
Defensive head coaches just don't sense the urgency at quarterback. I know and like Antonio Pierce, but what I'm hearing is it's down to Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. I'm not hearing any discussion of drafting a quarterback. Now, that may be Tom Telesco just trying to stay out of the news, but Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell are fourth place. And that offensively would be one of the weaker teams in the league. Now, Gardner was okay with Shane Steichen, but most of us agree that Steichen is the next Kyle Shanahan in terms of brain power and wattage offensively. Please, please, please tell me the future of the Raiders' offense is not their current quarterback situation.
Where Colin was right.
The Chiefs moved off. L'Jarius Sneed, the corner. I said, Chris Jones is the guy you got to keep. I like Sneed. But he gets penalties. He got smoked in the Super Bowl. NFL people that I respect are spending money on offense, not defense. The exception being a great pass rusher or a great interior defender. McDuffie is already in house. Brett Veach has shown an ability to draft excellent corners in the mid rounds or later. This is the right move by the Chiefs. They got to keep Mahomes protected and happy. And make sure Chris Jones, because there's no duplication of Jones, he's sort of a one-on-one guy in this league, keep him in-house. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong on a Monday. And with that, Chris Mannix, ready to joust with me, is joining us on the show. Did you hear, J-Mac, last week Mannix was up in Boston, and he and Eddie just taking these subliminal shots at us because we have questioned late-game efficiency by the Celtics. I will acknowledge they were pretty good late against Chicago, and my eyes were there set on.
I'm glad that 70 games into a dominant season, one trip to Chicago to watch them and watch Jason Tatum has you sold on this team as a legit contender.
Well, I have said they're going to roll through the East. I don't have any question. And I do think they're deeper than Denver. I do like to go, every year I go to a couple games, and there is a different perception when you go to games. My takeaway was, and it's always been with Tatum, I know he's great. I've said, all NBA, got no problems. Late game stuff, take it over. And again, Chicago's more talented than people think. They actually have real NBA players. They're young in spots, but they have some players. The one thing I saw with Tatum, first guy out at 5'10", first guy out on the floor, both teams working hard, like first guy by like 25, 30 minutes. The second thing was, in the late game situation, he wanted the ball. He just like, give me the ball. And there's also, and I kind of knew this, but there is a gap in this league, as you know. Outside of Steph Curry, think how smart the Warriors are run. They don't have another guy that can give them 25 points.
Yeah.
Tatum is clearly in an elite class of, give me the ball, I'm always going to get my shot.
Yeah.
That was very clear in that game. And I think, with that said, I may be uncomfortable at times, but I don't think Boston's uncomfortable with anything about Tatum.
No, they're satisfied with him being a distributor at times in those situations because he has the horses to throw the ball to. I mean, Jaylen Brown has closed the gap, I think, this year even more between himself and Jason Tatum. Kristaps Porzingis averaged 20 this season. Jrue Holiday has proven he can make big shots in big moments. If you don't have an open look or if you don't have the play that you want, passing the ball is the right play. And look, the criticism of Boston over the last few weeks really has boiled down to, is Jason Tatum a closer? And you know this. You can find stats to back up any argument. And I've seen some of Jason Tatum's, you know, the clutch time stats aren't as good as some of the top tier guys. How about the eyeball test? How about we go with that? Like, yeah. Did I fall asleep last year during the conference semifinals when Jason Tatum went off in the fourth quarter of an elimination game in game six? Did I miss that game seven against the 76ers when Tatum went for, what, 51 in that game? The three games that the Celtics won against Miami, Jason Tatum scored like 85 points in those three games. And I'm convinced he would have had a breakthrough performance in Game 7 if he didn't get hurt on the very first play of that game. So this idea that Jason Tatum is somehow on another tier of clutch player than some of the other guys we regularly talk about, well, to me, is ridiculous.
Well, the other thing I will say about Tatum is Luka doesn't defend. Tatum does.
Yes. He has gotten measurably better over the last few years.
Yeah, so the other thing is, unlike Biggs, Tatum doesn't get hurt much. He's there every night. So there are a lot of things. Some of this is jousting and it's fun, but I did want to go see him in person. So I saw him in person last year, and I do. I like to watch guys in person, see the body language. Jason's a very confident guy, and the one thing that really is so true when you watch the Celtics play, there's so much culture. Golden State's got a lot of this because it's a lot of the same guys. Boston has this too. Al Horford is a classic example. Boston's ball movement, you know, Chicago's young. Now, Andre Drummond's not young. There's a lot of young guys. They're perpetually rebuilding. When you watch Boston in crisis moments, end of the clock, end of the game, their ball movement, you can tell these guys have been in a lot of practices together. And a Derek White, a lot of guys that don't get pub. So I just thought it was interesting to me watching without three starters, and yet the backup guys, it's like they practice with the ones all day. Their ball movement, I thought, was exceptional.
Well, yeah, and this is the paradox of you right here, where part of you wants Jason Tatum to go 1-on-3, to be, you know, Jordan in the 80s, and just go after it every time he has the ball in clutch situations. But you just named Derek White's another guy who makes big shots and is comfortable in the moment.
16 a night, nobody pays attention to him.
Everyone knows that if Derek White is open or if Jrue Holiday is open, that is a better shot than Jason Tatum getting a soft double team thrown his way that forces up a contested two. He makes the right plays every single time. That's not always going to manifest itself in a game-winning shot, but it's going to manifest itself in an assist or a hockey assist or something that gets it done. Jason Tatum, all season long, has made great plays for this team.
So I was saying in my opening rant is...
By the way, can I also... Nick Wright.
Who
likes to take shots at my support of the Celtics over the years. Nick Wright, the LeBron advocate general for so many years of everything LeBron does and is great and nothing. There's no reason not to want to play with LeBron James. We used to argue on First Things First all the time about whether Anthony Davis was better off being traded from the Pelicans to the Lakers or the Pelicans to the Celtics. What would you say about that right now? Because AD does have a championship, but he's probably got 3, 4, 5 more years left in the NBA. Wouldn't you say he's probably better off playing with Jason Tatum, playing with some of those guys in Boston than he is in L.A. long-term?
Well, I think the Celtics have, since Brad Stevens first got the job, I think I look at Boston and I think to myself, this is a very well-run, consistent franchise, very Warriors-like. The difference is Steph just hits, Steph just is 1-on-1. And Tatum is very good, but Steph's like a unique unicorn all time. Yeah, I think Boston, and I've said this before, I think the Lakers are actually like a small town business in a big market. That's sometimes how they've been run. So yeah, I think AD to the Celtics probably would have been a better fit.
Well, let's cut that and send that to Nick to use this afternoon.
So I want to talk about the Warriors because it is fascinating about the NBA. So since he came into the league in 2009, the Warriors, well run. Everybody misses on draft picks. I mean, you get almost no video of these guys in college. You have no, I mean, it's ridiculous. An NFL GM gets 4 years of tape. I get like 6 games where you played against an NBA guy. I think it's really hard to draft. Really hard to draft as an NBA GM. 22 draft picks since Curry's been there. Multiple dozen trades acquisitions. They are still a totally dependent Steph Curry offense. Do they have to blow it up? I think they have to go get somebody. We've seen this now for 3 years. Now, 1 year, Denver wasn't quite ready to go. LeBron and AD were unhealthy, but I just feel like, guys, you got to go get somebody, right?
They are completely dependent on Steph Curry to score in key situations.
Every night.
I mean, that game, look, we can talk about the two most recent games with the Warriors, which I thought were bad for different reasons. Last night against the Timberwolves were bad because they had a lead for most of the game. They had a lead going into the fourth quarter, and Steve Kerr decided Steph had played too many minutes the night before, gave him an extended rest. That lead evaporated. They were down, I think, 8 at one point in that fourth quarter because they can't score without Steph Curry. You go to the Indiana game, which was the previous one. They put up 111 points against Indiana. Indiana is not a good defensive team. That's a team that doesn't have shot makers anymore. Steph Curry, still a shot maker, but has to do it in somewhat of a reduced role because of his age and the desire by the coaching staff to keep him as rested as possible down the stretch. But beyond Steph, who can you count on a nightly basis to make up the difference, to pick up the slack? Klay Thompson's not doing it anymore. Kuminga, I like him a lot, but he's not capable of that just yet. They don't have the horses right now to compete with the number of teams out there that just have shot makers left and right that can make shots.
So a lot of people are predicting that it won't be a great playoff because Boston's going to fly through the East, which I agree with, although Miami has a weird way of making them uncomfortable. The coaching's excellent, Bam, Butler. They'll make things uncomfortable. And then that Denver is dominant. Phoenix is disappointing, doesn't necessarily match up, and that Denver's not that fascinating. I love watching them play. But I said this last week. What's really interesting to me is Milwaukee, because they're old. They don't defend as well. Once they left Drew Holiday, they didn't want to get rid of him. It's a Hail Mary. They had to get somebody, and they got Dame. They loved
him. I don't know if they didn't want to get, like, I would love to give them truth serum to ask if they would have made that deal if they knew Drew was going to wind up in Boston. Because I thought they assumed he was going to wind up on a Western Conference team and they wouldn't have to deal with him, at least not in the conference playoffs.
So he's clearly, with his departure, they're just not as good defensively.
Yeah.
You can't argue that. And I think Giannis has been westernized. Not a criticism. He's a little more caustic. He's running through, you know, that coach got fired. The coach he wanted, Adrian Griffin, got fired because Giannis was tired of it, even though they were the number one or two seed when he got fired. Mm-hmm. And my takeaway is, if they lose early, or if they play Boston and they do not match up with a Celtics, that could be a sweep. They don't match up athletically with Boston, I don't think at all.
They don't match up well with Boston, but I was at the game last week where it was very close down the stretch with the Celtics. And yes, the Celtics were playing without Holiday, and there was probably a letdown for them going into that game because Giannis was supposed to play, then he didn't play, so it wasn't the matchup they thought it was. But watching Damian Lillard grind out 30-plus points in that game, watching Chris Middleton continue to show signs of progress coming back from that injury, he's going to be a dangerous weapon for them. Almost had a triple-double last night in the Bucks game. Watching Bobby Portis step in and play well for them. They did all that, kept it close against Boston in Boston without Giannis on the floor. And the Bucks like to say no moral victories. I walked away from that game thinking that it was a moral victory for them. So I agree with you. I would take Boston in a series against Milwaukee. I do think it's a lot closer.
Okay, let me make this argument. That if they lose to Boston, they have got to take it 6 or 7. Because if it's 5 games, 3 lopsided losses, my take is Giannis looks at that roster and goes, they're younger and more athletic. We're older, less athletic. We're not getting younger. I think Milwaukee has to be viable, has to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I would agree with that. I think getting to the Eastern Conference Finals is the absolute floor for this team before they have to get worried about what Giannis is going to want to do long term. Look, the contract extension Giannis signed was more about securing his financial future
right
than it was about a long-term commitment with Milwaukee. And I talk to NBA executives all the time that tell me there are teams out there just sitting on him, just, you know, crossing their fingers, rooting against the Bucks every single game. Teams like the Knicks, the Warriors, the Lakers, that are just sitting there hoping that this team bows out early and Giannis decides, look, this isn't for me. But if they get to the conference finals,
it's hard to.
If they make it competitive against Boston,
they can't blow it up.
You can't, because you still have enough pieces that are in their prime. Damian Lillard still back end of his prime, but playing well enough, all-star starter in his prime. Chris Middleton, if you can just coax one full healthy season out of him, he is still an effective player. The front court guys, Brooke Lopez is ageless on that team. I don't think you can blow it up if they go up against Boston and lose in 6 or 7. If they get beat by Miami in the first round, not out of the realm of possibility, by the way, but if that happens, then I think it's a different picture.
Chris Mannix, Wait, hold on.
Did you just say that if they get beat by the Heat in the first round?
I think you think Miami can't beat Milwaukee? Miami is the classic lurking in the shadows as a sixth seed. They've been doing it for a decade.
Yeah.
You
overvalued. I mean, this is a team last year. They made a great run. They've looked exhausted all season, Chris. I don't see it this year.
Okay. Well, look, they've had a lot of injuries.
They have
all season long. And I think they're a lesser team this year because of some of the deals that they made, the guys they lost in free agency last summer. But I promise you, you talk to any coach in the
NBA.
They
don't want to face him.
Nobody wants to face him.
Nobody, like, what are they sitting, eight seed right now?
Yeah.
You know, they'll be in the play-in, so they have to fight their way through that to get there. And they almost lost the play-in last year. Like, they almost got beat in the play-in. So that is certainly on the table. But if they get through, and if they're the seventh seed, and Milwaukee's sitting there at number two, that would make me nervous if I was the Bucks. If they're fully healthy, and they get a couple of play-in wins, or whatever it is, I would, and look, I feel the same way about Boston. Boston doesn't want to touch them in the first round either, because a healthy Jimmy Butler, a healthy Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson actually been better this year than he has been last year, more complete player. Tyler Hero coming back, that is not a team anyone wants to touch. That's radioactive in the first round.
Well, listen, I've said this. People can say what they want about the Lakers. When they won the in-season tournament, and it was sort of a one-game setting, it's like, you don't want to face LeBron in one game set. You don't want to face LeBron as a heavy favorite. LeBron, I'll make this argument that AD is now the third-best center in the league. Jokic is just the best player. Giannis is a better athlete. But Anthony Davis, for a year and a half, has not gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. He is there every night. He's an unbelievable defender. Three out of four games, he gives you big offense. I was banging on him for 2 years. Anthony Davis has had a remarkable year and a half stretch.
Yes.
He's one of the only guys that makes Jokic work. Now, Jokic will get his, but he makes Jokic work.
He does. And those games, as have been well documented, are incredibly close between the Lakers don't win them, but they've been incredibly close down the stretch. His durability has been one of the most surprising stories of the last couple of years. His ability to stay on the court, be an elite defensive player, where he still malfunctions from time to time is offensively. Yeah. Offensively, he'll have maybe too many nights where he gives you like 10 points and it's a low shooting percentage. That makes you worried if you're the Lakers, because you don't have a lot of reliable options after him.
But in fairness to AD, when you're leaning on a 280-pound guy and you're a great defender, I don't think offensively, you're not Luka. Luka just mails that side in.
Yeah.
When you're asking AD to defend guys that are often bigger, I think
that's the problem. Like that's the problem with one of the problems the Lakers have had this year is that they don't have anyone they can rely on to play those five-spot minutes. Like Jackson Hayes hasn't really been that guy. Yeah. Christian Wood hasn't been that guy. They haven't had that one big that can give them 20 minutes of reliable production alongside Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Didn't they want Andre Drummond at one point?
Wanted Andre Drummond.
I thought the
cheap
Laker,
salary.
Cheap salary. He plays. I mean, I watched him Saturday
guy's
night.
Guy's a human vacuum. I love that your entire, you know, your viewpoint of the NBA is based on what you saw with a Bulls-Celtics. A scheduled loss for Boston coming off a back-to-back.
I watch a lot of NBA.
I believe that. You seem to be taking a lot from this one game. Like, oh my God, Andre Drummond is... I would take him on the
Lakers. Well, and Andre Drummond was... My wife's like, where did he play? And I'm like, well, he started in Detroit. Cleveland or Detroit, and he was a rebound guy.
Yeah.
He didn't give you any offense, but he's a big, thick, like, body.
One of the great rebounders in NBA history. Like, look at the numbers.
Then he start in Detroit?
Started in Detroit, came back. He bounced around a lot over the years.
But he's one of those guys that, because he's a body and can give your big 16 minutes of rest, people want Andre Drummond.
A cup of coffee in Philadelphia for a little while. Great rebound.
Not just one game. I've got
I believe you want, but I'm just saying you seem to have taken more from this one game than you have watching all the games you have during the season.
It's fun. I love going to NBA games.
It's great.
I love going to NBA games.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. For eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
What makes Mercedes-Benz electric vehicles different? Electric's what gets you there. Mercedes is what moves you like no other automaker can. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ. J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, this is an interesting one. I don't think a lot of people are on this yet, but just hear me out. So Jim Harbaugh obviously has been hyping J.J. McCarthy. Remember, he came on this show and was like, J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback in the draft, and you kind of like laughed it off. So J.J. McCarthy had his pro day, and Harbaugh continues to rave, calling McCarthy's performance the best throwing day he's ever seen. Okay? Here's audio of Jim Harbaugh.
I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. He's incredible. So big market, small market, it wouldn't, cold weather, hot weather, you know, it won't matter. Like I predicted, once they were around him, I was hearing the stories about how he is on the board, how he is, on the field, the little things, the intangibles. I mean, it was absolutely no surprise whatsoever, but there was raving. I mean, it was great to hear. Incredible here.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my working theory. We thought before he was just pumping up his guy. So the Chargers are fifth in the draft. Okay. If there are people who like McCarthy, now Harbaugh's hyping. Oh, he's the best quarterback in the draft. All this stuff. Is this a signal? Come up to five. Get McCarthy. We'll trade back.
There is no question. You're very perceptive. This is Jim Harbaugh strategically at his very best. He is telling you the quarterback viewed as the fourth best quarterback. Harbaugh is saying he's the best quarterback in the draft. There is no question Minnesota's moving up. And the only question is to four or five. So, yes, I think this is very perceptive of you. He is playing the game. Now, he may believe J.J. McCarthy's excellent since he barely lost any games under Harbaugh. I don't think he's as good as Jim's saying. Be that as it may, Jim already has 2 fourth-round picks. If he moves J.J. McCarthy, that will give him 2 firsts at least and probably a first next year or a second. So Harbaugh needs 10 or 11 picks this year to get this puppy rolling.
Okay, this is in the weeds, and only like the hardcore NFL fans will remember. A year ago, Jim Harbaugh wanted leverage with Michigan. He was trying to get leverage, get paid, right? He allegedly talked to Carolina, and the other team he talked to was the Minnesota Vikings. They met with Jim Harbaugh. Ultimately, they picked Kevin O'Connell. Colin, I feel like there's a connection between the Vikings and Chargers, and it smells like that's going to be the trade. here in the draft. The Vikings are going to come up to 5 with the Chargers. Chargers slide back, and the Vikings get McCarthy.
And I do think Arizona at 4 really wants the best receiver in the draft because they have a star back. Right, they have their star quarterback, a star running back, and they have a tight end I really like, the young tight end for Arizona. I think they want to go get a star receiver. It'll be Harrison. So I don't think Arizona, unless you give them a haul, will move out of 4.
Yeah, they don't want to go down to the teens.
And also, the further you move up, Minnesota would rather trade at 5 or 6 than 4 because that's just more stuff you have to give off. So I think it's very, very interesting. I think Harbaugh, to your point, is playing it perfectly.
So we're 30 days out, I believe, from the draft, 29, 30, right in that area.
So excited.
It's going to start, you know, it was misinformation season, and now it's like the private workouts and all that stuff.
Yep.
So it's starting to get interesting on the draft front. Let's move over to the Denver Broncos. They moved on from Russell Wilson. They also are looking to draft a quarterback next month. You've been hot on this. You floated a certain name of somebody who visited this show last week. However, Sean Payton talked about the Broncos' ability to move up from 12th in the draft. Here's what he had to say today.
I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona. I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic, and we'll pay close attention to it.
What do you make of that?
Well, Denver's at 12. It depends who they want. If they want McCarthy, they're going to have to jump the Vikings, who are at 11. The Jets at 10 probably doesn't do much for them. It really depends on who Sean Payton wants. I mean, one of us may have Sean Payton's number and could text him, hey, about the quarterbacks in this draft. It's obviously not me, but I don't think he's shown his hand yet, and he did a good job of keeping the Russell Wilson stuff bottled up during the season.
What?
So I think Peyton's not going to give any tells as to where he's going, because is it Knicks? Is it Penix? Is it McCarthy?
I go back to this. Let's say Denver likes Bo Nix, but the scouting department says he's the 24th best player. And so Sean's sitting there thinking, well, we can't draft, you know, at our spot there. Would Denver move back to like 17, get more picks, and then get it? You can reach a little on quarterback. So Bo Nix is interesting. And I think this is a fascinating kind of thought game for the audience. Are you willing to overdraft a quarterback? Let's say J.J. McCarthy is 16th on your board, and you're Minnesota, and you need a quarterback. Are you willing to draft him 5, and not only draft him 5, but give up 2 to 3 first-round picks for him? And that's the strategy in the NFL, is that everybody's going to reach a little for quarterback. But how much do you reach for Bo Nix or McCarthy, who don't, say, project like Drake May or Caleb? It's not just overdrafting them. Daniel Jones, they overdrafted. I never thought he was a first-round quarterback. I do think Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy, I see more than I did with Daniel Jones. I think Bo Nix is like Breeze in terms of accuracy, and J.J. McCarthy can really move.
So it depends. Where do you have Nix on that hypothetical board? If McCarthy's 16, where are Nix and Penix?
I would say Nix,
35?
If you ask NFL execs, Bo Nix is somewhere in the late, early 20s, like 23 to 27, to top of the second. That's where he's viewed. But I need a quarterback. So I'm willing to reach, but I don't want to have to give up firsts. And then reach.
Where's
That's
Penix?
Where you get into trouble.
Where's Penix on that hypothetical board? Lower than Nix?
I love Penix, but the injuries freak people. I think Penix should go to the Seahawks. You and I agree. Seattle should just get Penix. He can use his college coordinator is the Seahawks coordinator.
I think Miami makes sense for Penix.
Yep, I think he is a bigger Tua.
Peyton, I don't think he's... I mean, Bo Nix obviously checks a lot of boxes. I don't know that he's trading up into the top 10 for, like, the 5th best quarterback, theoretically, right? He's not doing that, is he? For the 5th best quarterback?
I don't know.
Sounds insane. By the way, we're going to do season win totals, final hour, okay?
Oh, we are?
Just so you know. They just came out today.
Oh, wait, timeout, they did?
No, we're not doing it now, so settle down. But I just want to let you know. The Denver Broncos,
what do you mean they came out and you're not going to give them to me?
Well, the Denver Broncos are near the bottom of the...
What?
Yeah, the third worst win total. But we got a tease for the final hour, power hour. Final story here. Jordan Love had a great season with the Packers, leading Green Bay to the playoffs. Hey, got a nice win over Dallas. Did lose to the Niners, a tough one. Many are high on the Packers heading into next season, including Colin Cowherd. Jordan Love is very excited.
it's a great feeling, man. We're all very hungry for this upcoming year. But like you said, man, the confidence from, you know, top to bottom is there. You know, the organization believes that, you know, it's the perfect time to have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. And those conversations we had after that 49ers game were, man, like, work harder. Try and find ways to get better, because next year we're going to do it. Ain't, there's no more we're a young team. There's no more of those what ifs. Like, people know what we're about now, and obviously, you know, we'll have that target on our back. People are going to want to beat us. So, you know, we're hungry.
I know you love this team. I'll just, again, I'm not bashing Jordan Love, but early in the first half of the season, he was a bottom-tier quarterback, and there were questions, is he the guy? Second half, he went on a tear in December and January.
So what do you need to see?
I need to see more. I'm sorry. I just need to see more before I can anoint
him. What if he has five of his first six starts, he looks really good? Oh, then you ready to go?
Well, then I'm late to buying his great stock.
Okay.
I'm trying to buy NVIDIA at the top of the market. You know?
No, like, I would like to see him come out and roll in September. But I do think everybody has film now. He can be a tad reckless, but you cannot tell me the arm, the mobility, and everything you hear out of Green Bay is he's such a good guy. And I also think the team is so young, he fits generationally the roster. Aaron's like, yeah, like Tom Brady and Aaron, like, they don't want to deal with 21-year-old receivers. Like, they just don't.
So some of my issues with him, do you remember a Monday Night Football game against the Raiders? Packers-Raiders.
This year?
It was in October, yeah. Jordan Love was awful. He had three interceptions, threw for 182 yards.
Yeah, he was bad.
Just
putrid. Yeah.
It was an awful game from him.
Yeah.
And on those island games, Colin, you know, sometimes the stench can linger, if you will. And I just couldn't get past, like, watching Jordan Love vomit all over himself against the freaking Raiders. So I'm not as high as you are.
All right. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
When your
news.
Business reaches a certain scale, challenges begin to surface. You deserve a tailored solution, and that is NetSuite. Their KPI checklist, check it out, absolutely free, netsuite.com/herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
I thought there was something this weekend that was notable, J-Mac. J-Mac has been on Sauce Gardner. What a player. And I'm like, cornerbacks don't win games. So the Chiefs moved off, traded L'Jarius Sneed, the corner, who had a rough Super Bowl. And I've been on this for years. You got to spend your money on offense in the NFL, with the exception being a great pass rusher, a Max Crosby, or a great interior lineman, Chris Jones, Aaron Donald. Otherwise, spend your money on offense. Don't spend it on corner. To me, there's four things that win in this league once you get the coach right. So let's just say you have a good coach. Get the quarterback right, protect the quarterback, get the quarterback weapons, and then sign one great player to make their quarterback uncomfortable. Rinse and repeat. And corners are like the wide receivers of defense. They're on an island. You get some ego. Many of their best plays are spectacular plays, but they don't win football games. And they're not connected to the quarterback. And now, with all the innovation in the NFL over the last 5 to 10 years with all these great offensive coaches, there is so much motion, so much three-step drop efficiency, so much screening. These wide receivers, Tyreek Hill gets a running start now. There's a very little a top corner can do. You can throw away from him. You can roll away from him. You watch Miami, San Francisco, and the Rams play. I feel bad for corners. I mean, there's all this motion, getting guys wide open. And so I think the smart teams in this league are not paying corners. They're drafting them every year. Fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. You draft a corner every single year, but you don't really pay them unless, and this again, unless maybe your quarterback's on a rookie deal. So you've got like that 3-year window to pay a corner. But I just don't believe Kansas City, they draft corners well. They got McDuffie. There's no reason to pay him. But they made sure they paid Chris Jones. And that Rams got rid of Jalen Ramsey. They made sure they paid Aaron Donald. The Raiders, not great at corner. They're going to pay Max Crosby. There's three teams in the league right now, the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Browns. If I ran, and I love all three GMs, Brett Veach, Les Snead, Andrew Berry, I think they're building teams the way you should. Spend your money on offense. One exception, the pass rusher. By the way, Chicago deserves a lot of credit for this. I had my questions about Ryan Poles. They went out and made a deal for Montez Sweat, gave up a second-round pick. Chicago media, a lot of people blasted him. I'm like, no. Montez Sweat is better now than any second-round pick. Maybe not down the road in 4 years, but he is now. So the Bears said, we're going to pay Montez Sweat. But look at all the other players they're paying. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They're going to end up paying tight ends. Their left tackle, they'll eventually pay him. So the Bears, who through the years I haven't trusted upstairs, go look at what they did in the last month. Spent money on the right side of the ball. Cleveland's doing it. Rams are doing it. Chiefs are doing it. Moving off a very, very talented corner. Mick Cronin, UCLA coach, can't wait. Talking March Madness next.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.